Turn your Bibles, please, to Luke 16. Continuing with our series on managing God's money, started last week. Pick up where we left off. Luke 16, verse 10, reading from the New Living Translation, says, "If you are faithful in little things," what are the little things? Time, talent, treasure. God calls those the little things. "If you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven?" And I won't go into all that we talked about last week, but there's a correlation on how we handle our money and what God will entrust us with here on the earth. And the true riches, the scriptures talk about our people. It's not stuff, it's not possessions. The true riches are people. That's what we're going to celebrate in heaven. That's why Jesus sent His Son to live and to die for people. And that's what our lives are to be about. And money is part, I think, of the tests that we're to pass. To be able to handle money wisely is one of those tests to be able to handle more responsibility in the kingdom of God. And I mentioned this last week about us being stewards, and you need to get the CD from of that message. But being a steward is a manager of God's assets. A steward is someone, an owner, entrusts with the management of his assets. So we said that the owner of everything was God. The managers of those assets are us. Everybody say, "I'm a steward." We are stewards of all that is entrusted to us. Stewards of our families, our marriages, stewards of this community, stewards of this church, stewards of finances, all these different things. God owns it all. And I mentioned even last week, He owns our bodies. He owns everything. And we're to listen to Him of how to handle these resources. But how is a steward to conduct themselves? And I want to talk about that today. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is a chapter about being a steward, how we're to live our lives, conduct ourselves. Matthew 6, verse 24 says this. This is an amplified version. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one, despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in." The word mammon comes from a Hebrew word that means to entrust. And so the original meaning of the word mammon was that I had finances and I would entrust them to someone else for safekeeping. But over time, the word changed and it became something that we trust in. And I can't think of a time in all of history where more people have put their trust in money all over the world than any time before in all history. And so much of our society is about stuff and getting stuff. I mean, we're bombarded every day, TV, internet, radio. And in fact, we wouldn't have any of these things if it wasn't for ads. These ads pay for all these different media that we have. And it's really all about that. These shows are created and millions of dollars are spent, and all of that is so we can show and hear ads. And what's the purpose of ads? To make you feel lack. You ever feel lack? You ever feel like you don't have enough? I mean, every day, you know, and the purpose of the ad is to make us feel dissatisfied with ourselves and what we have, and so we'll go out and we'll buy something to make us happy. Have you ever tried to buy something to make you happy? Let me ask you, did that happiness last? It probably lasted as long as the new car smell, until that wore off, you know. And there's this idea that, and again, I'm not, God's not against us having stuff. He wants you to have the best. But life is not about stuff. Life is not about stuff. And the scriptures say godliness with contentment is great gain. And he wants you to have stuff, but he wants you to enjoy it. But he doesn't want you to forget what's the purpose. The purpose, really, of stuff is for us to be stewards and for us to be a blessing. The Bible says that Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. And if we're just working and striving to have stuff, I mean, it's just going to be a never-ending cycle. You're never going to have contentment. I want you to be content. I want you to have joy. I want you to be able to celebrate life. I want you to live a long, satisfied life. But see, what the enemy wants us to focus on is what we don't have. He wants to us to focus on a couple areas that aren't going right. But I tell you, we need to count our blessings. Who's blessed today? We got so, I mean, we could just have a testimony service right now just of what are we blessed with. We're blessed with a beautiful day, our families, and we got friends, so many good things we have, but yet we're focused on the negative. An area that maybe it's not going well. The enemy wants us to focus on that. But I want to say today, I want to say you're blessed. I want to say today that you're rich. I want to encourage you to count your blessings today. And I want you to enjoy this day today. All right, let's keep on going. Verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink or about your body and what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit of measure to his stature or to the span of his life? And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his excellence and dignity and grace, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and green tomorrow, is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat, or what are we going to have to drink, or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, the heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. Worry is a killer. Worry is will cause sickness in your body, keep you from sleeping, cause you to act ugly, say and do things you don't want to do. Worry will keep you from being your best. Have you ever just been burdened down in life? Just carried the cares? How does it make you feel? Make you feel good? The word worry actually means, you look it up here in the Greek, it means to divide the mind, to be distracted, anxiety, tension, stress, all these things. This is not God's plan for our lives. Now, Jesus has basically four arguments against worry, and we'll quickly run through them. The first argument against worrying, and really, he's commanding us not to worry. So by worrying, we're actually sinning. We're missing the mark. And so I just want to encourage you, let's just give up. Why don't we just, you know, we used to, from the Catholic background, we used to have Lent. We used to give up things. Any former Catholics here that used to do that? Used to, you know, we give up candy, we give up this. Well, I tell you, how about not just for Lent, how about just for the rest of our lives? Yes. Why don't we give up worrying? Why don't we just decide today we're not going to worry anymore? We're just going to live carefree. Amen. Sound good? All right, the first argument against worrying. God gave us life, and if he gave us life, surely we can trust him for lesser things. If he gave us life, surely we can trust him to give us food that sustains life. If he gave us bodies, surely we can trust him to clothe these bodies. Now, if someone gives you a priceless gift, if I were to give Rick something that was priceless, I mean, would that be millions and billions of dollars, whatever, some kind of, just it's just priceless. You can't put a value on it. I mean, wouldn't I give you whatever your light bill is? Wouldn't I certainly give you $200 for a light bill? Wouldn't I give you, you know, money to take Gina out to eat? And I know Ian needs some things. A couple things. I mean, if I would give you that, wouldn't I give you all things? And in fact, it says that in Romans chapter 8. If God didn't spare his own son, see, you don't realize it, the blood of Jesus is the most valuable thing in all of the universe. All the gold, all the silver, all the planets, everything, all the things that we call precious couldn't pay the price for our redemption. The only thing that could pay that price was the blood of Jesus. And God gave that willingly. If he did not spare his own son, I mean, surely, won't he give you all things? All right, argument number one. Argument number two. We talked a little bit last week about the birds. And my wife and I and kids, we like to hike and things like that. And we were hiking one time, and we got a little bit off the trail, and we came into this clearing area. And it was like all these trees, and all of a sudden there was no tree. There was no stumps. It was just like an open. And if I wasn't like who I am, if I was a believer in like UFOs and aliens and all that, I would think an alien spacecraft had landed there. It was like a perfect circle. And there was like, all the grass was kind of mashed down. And we were kind of joking that maybe this is a place where deer come late at night and have a big party. And we've got some woods behind my house. And I've never walked back in those woods and come upon a animal grocery store. Animals are lined up to get food. And I've never seen, and we got deer around running around our, I mean, we'll come home sometime, there'll be five deer in our yard. But I've never seen, Matt, I've never seen one with a saddlebag. Huh?
Hanging from the antlers?
Yeah, hanging from the antlers, yeah. And I've never seen one that, any of the animals. I mean, I've got an owl so fat at our house, he can barely fly. One of these days, he's going to be out there. He's not going to be able to move. I'm going to have to take him into the house. I mean, I don't see any sad squirrels, birds, deer. Nobody's stressed out. Now, did you know that God created animals to serve man? If he provides well for the animals, and they're content, wouldn't he provide for us? Third argument, the lilies. The lilies were abundant in Palestine, on the hills of Palestine, and their ovens were clay ovens, and they'd keep these things hot, but to heat them up, they'd get dry grass and these lilies and put them in their oven to heat them up, to make them hotter. They wanted to cook something fast. And so a lot of times these lilies may bloom a day or two. And the scripture says these lilies, and we know them from our flowers and things that we have. I mean, they're beautiful. God took the care to make these beautiful flowers. And again, he made them for us. How much more would he not clothe us and take care of us and give us beautiful things? And the fourth argument he uses for us not to worry, especially about financial things, is worry is what the world does. Have you ever been in, and I have many times, have you ever been to an ICU unit? Gary, you know what I'm talking about. And you've been there with a family that doesn't know God? I tell you, there without is one of the saddest things. They have no pastor. They have no church family. They don't have anybody they can call, and they don't even know who to call or what they even ask for. And then the person that's sick, I mean, they don't know whether they're going to heaven or to hell. I mean, it just breaks your heart. The world is without hope, but we have a hope. And we need to be reminded that God is our Father. He's a good provider. Matt, are you a good provider for your family? I mean, you looking out for your little one? I mean, you want the best, don't you? Clothes, food, education. I mean, I'm the same way with my family, Matt. I mean, I want to provide the best for my family. And I told Grayson to plug his ears last, you know, but all my kids, don't listen to this, Harry. I mean, I want them to be blessed. I don't want them worrying. I don't want them stressed. I want them to have what they need in abundance. How much more? God, he's the Father of fathers. Does he want to bless us? Does he want to take care of us? And not only in the scriptures is he Father, but he's Mother. He's all included in one. He wants to take care of us better than we want to take care of ourselves. He wants us to have better than we even can dream of. He's got a mansion for you in heaven that is so amazing. It's got the things in that mansion for you that, you wouldn't even realize until you saw it and said, yeah, I wanted that. But you didn't even know it. But he knew it. And he's thinking every day, you're on his mind. He's thinking every day, how can I bless my son or daughter? And he's thinking of new and creative ways to get those blessings over to us. Amen. But see, when we're so burdened down it's just like some days you almost feel like your shoulders are drooping, don't you? And when you walk, your head is down, you know? It's just like the cares of life. And see, when you're in this posture, and maybe not in the natural, but when you're in this posture spiritually, you're going to miss all that God has for you. It's not his will. It's not his plan for you to worry. He wants you to live a worry-free life. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, it says, cast all your care. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. All right, well, how do we want to live this worry-free life? How do we do it? Well, let's read some more verses. Let's read verse 33. But seek aim at and strive after. First of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. Do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. One of the first things we need to do is we need to put Jesus first. Put Jesus first. Today is Sunday. This, you know, and we look at it as the end of the week, but technically this is the first day of the week. We set the tone today for the rest of the week. That's why it's good to come to service on Sunday morning. We pray, we worship, we give, we fellowship, all things we want to be doing the rest of the week. We bring our tithe. What's the tithe? The tithe is the first part. It's the first tenth. It's not the second tenth, the third tenth. It's not our leftovers. It's not a tip to God. It's giving Him our best. What do we do before our meals? Before we eat, we pray. And I just want to recommend a good way to start your day off is with prayer and study of the Word. Don't raise your hand, but who's had a lousy day this week? Don't raise your hand. Hands are going, or they're wanting to go up. But let me ask you, is that a day you started off with prayer? See, prayer and study of the Word, it can orchestrate your day before it happens. And then maybe we should start saying some things about our day. This is a good day. This is a great day. This is a day, a graduate of Oral Roberts University was just out there for Maddie Sue's graduation, and what Oral Roberts used to say, something good is going to happen to you today. Yes. And then you always say this, I'm expecting a miracle. What are you saying about your day? Oh no, it's Monday. We ought to be skipping to work on Monday. See, the enemy's trying to steal your joy. He's trying to steal your joy, and he can't just take your life. So what he does, he bombards you with these thoughts. Bible calls them fiery darts. And he wants to get that thought embedded in your mind and for you to rehearse it over and over. And then one of the most powerful things we can do is give voice to it and then to say it, and then he just wants it to just perpetuate in your life. We got to stop that. The Bible says to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the Word of God. Now that's tough. That's tough to do. How many times during the day do we think about money? How many times during the day do we think about lack? How many times are we thinking about something in the future that we think is going to occur? And of course, the enemy is going to paint the worst possible scenario. How much energy and time? And so by the end of the day, man, you're just exhausted. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. See, worry just saps our strength. And God wants us at our best. We had a birthday party for Mr. Neil here. Neil turned 40. Praise God. Doing good, Neil. 40 years old. Well, we had a surprise. Let me see our mask. We had a surprise party for him. And so when Neil walked in, he saw this. That's kind of scary, isn't it? No. But I promised them that I would preach my whole sermon with this mask on today, so I'm going to preach the rest of this message. But at the end, well, we were just kind of playing some music, playing some Michael Jackson, playing some Kool and the Gang, playing some different. Frank's like, What? Yeah. And a lot of people had left, but I'm the observer, but most of those people who are here, they started dancing in our commons. Oh my God. And they were dancing and having a good time, and you know, I loved it. I mean, it takes guts to dance in front of other people. Huh? Sober. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But when you just feel comfortable and relaxed and just carefree, I mean, doesn't it feel good to dance? Now, you need to get Susie's message from Wednesday. You need to get it right along these lines. You need to get it, and you need to listen to it, and then you need to act upon it. But she mentioned this story about Smith Wigglesworth. Anybody ever heard of him? Great man of God. Had 20-something people raised from the dead in his ministry. Great preacher. Lester Summerall, actually someone that I've heard minister and preach. He's no longer with us either, but Lester Summerall went over to Smith Wigglesworth's house and was asking him, because he was just so full of joy, so confident, so consistent, so steady. He said, you know, Smith, what's your secret? And Smith Wigglesworth, just as serious as we can be, looked at him and said, well, I start my day off every day with 12 to 15 minutes of high-speed dancing. And so Susie's been joking with me all week. I'm getting ready in the morning, and she'll come in there, and she'll do about 5 seconds of high-speed dancing. I want to get a video of that, because every time she does it, I just laugh. It makes me feel good when she does high-speed dancing. Are we supposed to live our lives with just a bunch of care? Do we know who we are? Are we believers? Is our Heavenly Father, is He so poor and so cheap, He can't take care of us? And I know, I'm not discounting situations and issues. We're all going through various things. But is all that worrying really helping you? Staying up late? Is that helping you? Is it being a blessing to you? So he says, cast your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Give it to God. Whatever the situation, give it to God. And then let's trust him that he's the God of Ephesians 3:20, that he will do super abundantly more than we can ask or think or hope or dream or pray. Why don't we consume our time then thinking about the Word, thinking about good things, thinking about what he's told us to do. See, in my life, this is what I'm wrapped up in here right now, empowering people to give life. My life is about empowering people or giving life. That's my job. That's what I do. That's what I'm focused on. And so let me ask you today, what's your purpose? What's your purpose? What's your vision? Why are you here? See, every day we should be a step closer to the purpose that God has for us. Get from God the plan for the day and then walk out that plan. And hey, come on, let's go to work and let's be different than everybody else. Let's have some joy. Let's actually have like a good attitude. Let's actually seem like we're glad to be there. And then people are going to ask you, what are you smoking? What are you smoking? What are you drinking? And you can just say, no, I'm high on Jesus today. Because I'm putting Jesus first. Because my Heavenly Father takes care of me. He provides for me well. And while you're asking, did you know that I'm rich? Did you know that I'm blessed? Did you know that my Heavenly Father goes out of His way to take care of me? Did you know that I don't have a care? See, I cast all my care upon Jesus. I'm just content today. All right, everybody, right now, everybody, listen now. Everybody, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go ahead and give me your content look right now. All right, look at your neighbor with your content look. I guarantee if you walk around with your content look, they're going to think you really are smoking something. Because those were some goofy content looks there. I'm just going to go ahead and declare today a worry-free Sunday. I'm taking a vacation today from worry.
Yes.
And wherever I go, I'm just going to have my content look. Just on the edge of either breaking out into laughter or breaking out into song. Or high-speed dancing. I love musicals. We went to see Beauty and the Beast at my son's school. You were a beast, by the way. But I just love, I mean, all of a sudden they're in the middle of something and then they just break out into singing. Right. I love for some of the men, they're not going to like this, but one of my favorite movies is Sound of Music. The hills are alive! Simon would be proud. I mean, we should be singing about Edelweiss. The flower in Sound of Music. You don't know that? I mean, we should be like, we live in our lives at one of these German pubs and we're all just kind of singing songs together. But no, I'm a believer. I'm mad at God and I'm mad at everybody. Don't mess with me. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So we're going to celebrate today. We're going to have us a great day. And we're going to be ourselves. We're going to do some high-speed dancing. We're going to do some laughing. We're going to do some singing. We're going to have some good fellowship. Who's all coming over to my house today? I'll meet you all back up in the woods. Every day be thinking about what's God's plan for today. What does God have for me today? What does He want me to do today? See, life is a lot of little things. Little decisions. And I tell you, I mean, and we think so much, and we need to plan for the future, and the Bible talks about that, being prepared for the future. But I want to tell you, He supplies our needs every day. Instead of worrying about all the needs that aren't met for tomorrow, let's thank Him for what's being met today. And when the time comes along and you're faced with that situation on that day, the provision will be there. I tell you, this series has to do with explosive empowerment. Explosive empowerment is about the people of Good News Church reaching out to their world with the gospel. It's about us giving life wherever we go. And the Lord wants to, and it's already happening, but we're doing that in a greater way in 2011. But he wants to do, in order to have explosive empowerment, he wants to do explosive things in other areas of life. And so I'm just going to go ahead and just say it today. He wants to do explosive miracles in the financial area. I believe even during this series, we're going to have testimonies of God's provision, God doing a breakthrough. And I'm just going to go ahead and declare, I declare houses paid off. I declare cars paid off. I declare money in the bank. I declare raises, promotions, investment increases. And with us, expectation has everything to do with results. And so we got to get this in you just to wake up and say, hey, even though it looks like everything's not perfect, I'm just expecting good things today. When you're expecting miracles, you know what? Miracles happen. That's what faith is. Hey, is our God able? Yes. Is our God faithful? Yes. We've got a history of thousands of years of God doing the supernatural, and he's not done yet. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did back then, he'll do today. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. That's us. But we got to get out of the doldrums, get out of just getting by, and start getting into God every day and saying, I'm just expectant. Today's my day. So if there's some folks here today that maybe are discouraged or down, you just keep on coming. You keep hearing the word. You get this tape. Get Wednesday night's tape. And then I'll meet you for the high-speed dancing class right after service today. Now, before we receive our offering, go ahead and stand, everybody. Who's got a favorite sports team? I know Georgia Bulldogs. Eric, you got a favorite team? Several. Name one of your teams. Braves.
Braves, Hawks, and Falcons.
Braves, Hawks, and Falcons. Favorite sports team?
Yellow Jackets.
Braves. Now, let me ask you. I was at a Minnesota Twins playoff game several years back, and it was in the Metrodome, and there was 58,000 people there. And this is before the start of the game. The Twins just came on the field at the start of the game. They came on the field, and the folks there in that stadium got so loud, I couldn't even hear myself think. I thought the building was going to collapse. And we get that excited about a baseball, football, hockey, basketball team. And then we come to church, and we can barely even raise our voices above a whisper. Well, I'm going to give you permission for just a second to let loose. And if you want to do high-speed dancing, twirls, and if you can reach the chandeliers, go ahead and swing from them. Well, Pastor, we just don't do that in our church. Well, hey, we're not in your church. And I want you, what I want you to visualize just for a second is that biggest need that you have. I want you to visualize it being met. And I want to see what kind of reaction we would have. So it's going to be on the count of three. And I hate to have it do it this way, but this is the way you got to help people because, dear God, you don't count to three, they won't know what to do. But I want the people of Montclair, this neighborhood, people that are driving by, people on I-20, know that we serve a big God, know that we serve a God of victory, know that we serve a God of miracles, that he loves, he takes pleasure in doing signs and wonders, and he's my Father, and he's for me. He always causes me to triumph. So on the count of three, I want you to do your victory celebration. Is there anybody with me today?
Yeah.
All right, we got one. We got two. We got two. We got three. Woo! Yeah! Woo! Woo! Yeah! Woo! 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 Yeah! Yeah! Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! Breakthrough! Breakthrough! Thank you, Lord, for breakthrough. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Who's ready for offering? You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Worked them all into a tizzy. Now they got to sit down. Hallelujah. But see, we can live this way. Even in the midst of problems and situations, to have joy and to be a light to this world, because they're looking. Where's that? Hey, put up that last scripture, guys, from Isaiah. Isaiah 26. Y'all have that? Isaiah 26, verse 3. This will be our offering scripture. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Perfect peace. I love that. Perfect peace. Godliness with contentment. Hallelujah. I want you to live a long, satisfied life. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to remind everybody to fill out the Hey, I'm Here card, the green card.